Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you once again for calling in or listening to, rather. And if you call in, thank you for that, too. Bard's Logic, Political Talk, part of the growing conservative conversation. If you came in through Blog Talk, I appreciate it. If you're going to be here live or you're here listening to the archives or a rebroadcast of this show, thank you very much. The song you just heard was from Aubrey Ashburn, and I have the pleasure and the honor of interviewing her tomorrow night, August 9th. So you can come in and listen to her as well and give her a warm welcome. But tonight we have an author, who does fantasy fiction books, and his name is Ted Krim, and he will tell us of his World of Shandahar series. And Mr. Krim has co-authored 3 novels and short stories into anthologies, and currently he is working on a role-playing game based on those novels. Now, The World of Shandahar, their description is an epic fantasy adventure series filled with battles, romance, and intrigue. And every year, Ted attends the Kentucky Highland Renaissance Festival and the Ohio Renaissance Festival in selling and promoting the books he helped develop, because he's a co-author of the books. And one of his aspirations is to see the book made into film. And Ted will be coming in at approximately 8:30, and we look forward to speaking with him when he comes in. But while we're doing that, as I said, tomorrow I am going to interview Aubrey Ashburn, and she is a vocalist and songwriter and has won awards, and we will cover the awards that she has won tomorrow in my introduction for her. But you could see her work. She does have a single out, a CD, and that's not a single, that's only one song, but she does have a CD out, and I will bring that up tomorrow in my descriptions, a kind of a teaser there for the folks about my guest tomorrow. But she has done a lot of lyrics, written a lot of lyrics, and done a lot of songs in role-playing game, video games. And I think that tonight is a good opening up, opening act, as it were, to her interview tomorrow night. And she has produced, you know, some songs in games such as Dragon Age and Rift, Lord of the Rings, Avatar for the DS, and many others. So, and I don't have the whole list, because as I said, I'm just trying to whet the appetite for the audience. And I'm going to say hello to someone in the chat, someone who comes in frequently. And I would like to say hello, Delicatessa. And I'm going to type this in here. So give me some moments if this will... Let me type this in. There we go. Let's see if it goes up to the screen. There we go. There we go. So great. Yeah, sometimes I'm on this dinosaur of a computer here that sometimes takes a little bit. But tomorrow for my interview, I'm going to be using the faster computer. And I think what is I am multitasking. And one of the things I do during the multitasking is I go to some social medias while doing the show, one of which is Facebook, and Facebook is really busy right now. So it looks like that all the chatter going on Facebook is actually freezing up the computer that I am on now. So, that being said, I'd like to play an audio for you, if I could get in there. And this is an example, another example of the music that Aubrey Ashburn has done. And I will play this shortly, but I'm getting... people might be familiar with this clip. See, that's the thing about Blog Talk Radio. It's very organic, where you never know what you are going to experience while listening to a Blog Talk Radio show. But I do feel that Blog Talk Radio, and basically radio over the internet, is the new media of the 21st century. I think it will overtake both television and radio, especially when it comes to news and political talk. But without further ado, I will play another example of Aubrey Ashburn's music. Another song by Aubrey Ashburn, who I will be interviewing tonight. And we have about 15 minutes before the gentleman who I'll be interviewing tonight will be coming in. And he has three books out. I've read all of the old books, but they revamped them because they've gotten a new publisher, which he'll describe later on. So, yes, so one of the people in the chat was asking if he showed. Yes, indeed, he will show. I've confirmed the interview with him. I don't have the guests come in right at the start of the show because I like to give time for people to start, filing in and getting, relaxed and getting settled before the interviewee comes in and does their thing. So I like to give them a little, like tomorrow night, Aubrey's not going to come in until a little bit later for the show, but I'll have some bio on her and her whole list of songs and her whole list of awards that she's won and what she's done. And I'll give a link to her website, and I will play some more examples of her music. And yes, thank you, Tessa. You don't want me just calling you Tessa instead of the whole name, do you? If you can reply that in chat, that would be great. So I'm waiting on her response. While I'm also chatting with someone else, multitasking here. Okay, let's see. Tessa, Deli, or Angie? How any of them would fit the bill? Yeah, I say sometimes, you know, you could just call me Hey You, and I'll be fine with that. So it doesn't matter. I respond to everything, even if you aren't talking to me. That's funny. That's funny. Now, I don't do that. I do like to talk, but I don't, you know, maybe sometimes I do that. So, yeah, I appreciate that. Now, a lot of the people who were invited to the show tonight are to come in to listen, other than the regulars who I love, who regularly come into the show. We have some new people who will be coming in or listening in, and there's different ways in which they will do it. For you can listen to the show on iPod and Zune and iTunes and, you know, things of that nature. And there's a couple others, but those are the ones that come to mind, you know, right now. So he also has, I like to bring this up, is the author also has a partner who I would really like to get on. Her name is Tracy Chowhardy. And she's just, you know, I guess, you know, very busy, and he's the one who goes and does a lot of the circuits, going to the different Renaissance fairs, selling and promoting the book, going to the book signings, and as you see tonight, coming to the shows. But anyway, back to what I was talking about is the new people coming in, as I gave them the link. So we, as I said, we were waiting for them to chime in. And Ted will be coming in about 10 minutes or so. So with that, let me go to the studio, and I'd like to play a clip for you folks. Okay. I'd like to play the clip. And while I'm waiting for the clip to, or the studio to launch back up, I need to not multitask so much while I am doing the show. But, there's different ways that people are listening to the show, and I like to reply to their, you know, any questions or comments. So I like to reply to them while they're in there, in the different modes at which they are listening and participating in the show. And that's one of the things I really like about Blog Talk Radio, is the participation. And people in the chat, and then people calling in, and then there's actually people who listen to the show and then are on other social media such as Facebook and Twitter, who will make comments about the show as well. So it's very interactive, but you definitely have to do a lot of multitasking to do it. So with all these new ways, but I like that. There's a clip I wanted to play, and this doesn't really have anything to do with the, you know, the interview tonight. But it's a clip that I like, and I like to play for the audience. And there's another one if we have time I like to play, and it's about the United States, and it's about, you know, all the good that the United States has done. And this is seen through the perspective of a Canadian.
The United States dollar took another pounding on German, French, and British exchanges this morning, hitting the lowest point ever known in West Germany. It has declined there by 41% since 1971, and this Canadian thinks it's time to speak up for the Americans as the most generous and possibly the least appreciated people in all the world. As long as 60 years ago, when I first started to read newspapers, I read of floods on the Yellow River and the Yangtze. Well, who rushed in with men and money to help? The Americans did, that's who. They have helped control floods on the Nile, the Amazon, the Ganges, and the Niger. Today, the rich bottom land of the Mississippi is underwater, and no foreign land has sent a dollar to help. Germany, Japan, and to a lesser extent Britain and Italy, were lifted out of the debris of war by the Americans, who poured in billions of dollars and forgave other billions in debts. None of those countries is today paying even the interest on its remaining debts to the United States. When the franc was in danger of collapsing in 1956, it was the Americans who propped it up, and their reward was to be insulted and swindled on the streets of Paris. And I was there. I saw that. When distant cities are hit by earthquake, it's the United States that hurries in to help. Managua, Nicaragua is one of the most recent examples. So far this spring, 59 American communities have been flattened by tornadoes. Nobody has helped. The Marshall Plan, the Truman Policy, all pump billions upon billions of dollars into discouraged countries. And now newspapers in those countries are writing about the decadent, war-mongering Americans. Now, I'd like to see just one of those countries that is gloating over the erosion of the United States dollar build its own airplanes. Come on now, you, let's hear it. Does any country in the world have a plane to equal a Boeing jumbo jet, the Lockheed TriStar, or the Douglas 10? If so, why don't they fly them? Why do all international lines except Russia fly American planes? Why does no other land on Earth even consider putting a man or a woman on the moon? You talk about Japanese technocracy and you get radios. You talk about German technocracy and you get automobiles. You talk about American technocracy and you find men on the moon, not once but several times, and safely home again. You talk about scandals and the Americans put theirs right in the store window for everybody to look at. Even the draft dodgers are not pursued and hounded. They're right here on our streets in Toronto. Most of them, unless they're breaking Canadian laws, are getting American dollars from Ma and Pa at home to spend up here. When the Americans get out of this bind, as they will, who could blame them if they said to hell with the rest of the world? Let somebody else buy the bonds. Let somebody else build or repair foreign dams or design foreign buildings that won't shake apart in earthquakes. When the railways of France and Germany and India were breaking down through age, it was the Americans who rebuilt them. When the Pennsylvania Railroad and the New York Central went broke, nobody loaned them an old caboose. Both of them are still broke. I can name to you 5,000 times when the Americans raced to the help of other people in trouble. Can you name to me even one time when someone else raced to the Americans in trouble? I don't think there was outside help even during the San Francisco earthquake. Our neighbors have faced it alone, and I'm one Canadian who is damn tired of hearing them kicked around. They'll come out of this thing with their flag high, and when they do, they're entitled to thumb their noses at the lands that are gloating over their present troubles. I hope Canada is not one of these. But there are many smug, self-righteous Canadians. And finally, the American Red Cross was told at its 48th annual meeting in New Orleans this morning that it was broke. This year's disaster, with the year less than half over, has taken it all, and nobody, but nobody, has helped.
And the reason I play that tonight, folks, is on Tuesday, or Thursday through Tuesday, I normally do, as you well know, political issues. And part of what we discuss is the condition that the United States is in and how we need to bring it back. And we won't talk politics tonight, but I think it's a very important. As I said, I don't get enough opportunity to play clips like that because most of the clips I do play, the audio clips, are pertinent to the discussion that we're going to have that evening or that we're having that evening. Now, yeah, 6 minutes before I bring in the guest for this evening, Ted Krim, and I'd like to take that opportunity to play this last clip before he comes in because it's very telling, and I'd like to get this in because these shows are recorded and there will be many, many people who will be listening to this on the archives. And I'd like to have this to be heard, and that's why I want to play this tonight.
Good day to you, America. For over 235 years, American men and women have served our country with great honor. From the Revolutionary War to the present day Iraq-Afghanistan War. This story is to honor all of those who have served America. For myself, I say thank you and God bless all of you. At a time when our president and other politicians tend to apologize for our country's prior actions, here is a refresher on how some of our former patriots handled negative comments about our country. In JFK's time, Secretary of State Dean Rusk was in France in the early 1960s when de Gaulle decided to pull out of NATO. De Gaulle said he wanted all U.S. military out of France as soon as possible. Rusk responded, "Does that include those who are buried here?" De Gaulle did not respond. You could have heard a pin drop. When in England, at a fairly large conference, Colin Powell was asked by the Archbishop of Canterbury if our plans for Iraq were just an example of empire building by George Bush. He answered by saying, "Over the years, the United States have sent many of its fine young men and women into great peril to fight for freedom, well beyond our borders. The only amount of land we have ever asked for in return is enough to bury those who did not return home." You could have heard a pin drop. There was a conference in France where a large number of international engineers were taking part, including French and American. During the break, one of the French engineers came back into the room saying, "Have you heard the latest dumb stunt Bush has done? He sent an aircraft carrier to Indonesia to help tsunami victims. What does he intend to do, bomb them?" A Boeing engineer stood up and replied quietly, "Our carriers have 3 hospitals on board that can treat several hundred people. They are nuclear powered and can supply electrical energy power to the shore facilities. They have 3 cafeterias with the capacity to feed 3,000 people 3 meals a day, and they can produce several thousand gallons of fresh water from seawater each day, and they carry a half dozen helicopters for use in transporting victims and injured to and from their flight decks. We have 11 such ships. How many does France have?" You could have heard a pin drop. A U.S. Navy admiral was attending a naval conference that included admirals from America, England, Canada, Australia, and a French naval admiral. They were at a cocktail reception. The American admiral found himself standing with a large group of officers that included personnel from most of those countries. Everyone was chatting away in English as they sipped their drinks, but a French admiral suddenly complained that whereas Europeans learn many languages, Americans learn only English. He then asked, "Why is it we always have to speak English at these conferences rather than speaking French?" Without hesitation, the American admiral replied, "Maybe it is because the Brits, the Canadians, Aussies, and the Americans arranged it so you wouldn't have to speak German." You could have heard a pin drop. And this story fits right in with the above. Robert Whiting, an elderly gentleman of 83, he arrived in Paris by airplane. At French customs, he took a few minutes to locate his passport. It was in his carry-on. "Sir, You have been in France before, Monsignor, the customs officer asked sarcastically. Mr. Whiting admitted that he had been in France previously. Then you should know enough to have your passport ready. The American said, the last time I was here, I did not have to show it. Impossible. Americans always have to show their passports upon arrival in France. The senior American said, he gave the Frenchman a long, hard look. Then he quietly explained, well, when I came ashore at Omaha Beach on D-Day in 1944 to help liberate this country, I couldn't find a single Frenchman to show my passport to. You could have heard a pin drop. Now, I am a proud American, and I am extremely proud of the men and women who serve our country today, who have served our country. I say God bless you, your friends, and your family, and thank you for the service to our country, the United States of America.
Hello, Ted.
Hello. Hey, it's a bit of a hiccup.
Yeah, it looks like we had some difficulties there. It looks like you're in and then out and then back in. But, you know, that's one of the things that sometimes you face in this cell phone age that we have.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure everyone here has had a phone drop a call on them at some point or another.
Nope. Yeah, that's not good when that happens. Anywho, I'm here now.
There we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, do not.
I said yes. I said you're here now. And that's what matters. You just move forward.
That's right. So, ladies and gentlemen, do not attempt to adjust your radio dials. Well, your cell phones and your computer dials or whatever. You're on the correct page.
There you go. And yes. We have a person in the chat here that you know, and her name is Heidi. And if you'd like to say a shout-out and say hello to Heidi, go ahead.
Hello, Heidi. I hope all is well. It's good to hear from you.
There you go. And I'm sure you guys would touch base at another time. And if she wants to chime in the chat and say anything, I will convey that to you. So
that's awesome.
We're here for you to talk about your book series, and
okay.
the Chronicles of Shandahar, namely the World of Shandahar. So I will leave the floor to you.
Well, thank you very much for having me back on. For anybody who may be listening for the first time, I am Ted Krim, one of the two writers of the Chronicles of Shandahar, as I was ever so politely introduced as. World of Shandahar is a 3-book-long series right now in our first story, and we continue on with our second story. You can check out my book or the books and read the first chapter of all the books that are currently available on my website at www.worldofshandahar, and that is spelled Shandahar. .com, and you can also purchase from there as well. The World of Shandahar is a world that Tracy and I created off of many different inspirations. And so what we have is a shadow of evil falling over the world and a group of adventurers rising to meet the threat, wielding magic and weapons of war. They fight, but only one person that we reveal in an ages-old prophecy is able to possibly save Shandahar from a ages-old curse, which has incarcerated the world. Now, the curse is our world is cursed to repeat itself. So when the history of mankind reaches a certain point, everything goes back to the beginning of time and starts over again. So one of the many different plot lines that we have in our books. So what I was going to do tonight was, you know, in addition to talking about some of the things of the world, was introduce the people to a couple of the staple characters in the series. Tonight we're going to talk about one of the main protagonist. She is a female called Adriana, and she is what we call a Faelan, or an elf in layman terms. And she is a magic user, magic being a rare thing in the world of Shandahar. She wields magic and not very good at it in the start of the series, but learns to control her powers as the series moves forward. When we first meet Adriana, she's born under really hard circumstances. Her birth being a very difficult one, her mother dies and while giving birth to her, and she's ostracized and pretty much kicked out of the family impolitely by her father. And so when she leaves her homeland of Shangri-Lac, she goes to a city named Anhai, which is a city that Tracy and I created, which is a city full of magic that will be able to accommodate her and give her all of the resources to controlling her powers as she sees fit. And while she's making her journey there, she's beaten up again. You know, she gets jumped by some brigands, and they beat her up. And during this time, she's also, you know, of growing up, she's also ostracized by a lot of people in her life. So she really doesn't have much self-confidence at all in herself. And it's not until she returns home to Shangri-Lac many years later that she sees some old friends of hers from her city, sees her city has grown over the years, and she starts to develop some pride in her homeland. Now, our main antagonist is a man named Thane. When we first meet him, he is an individual that has been recently raised from the dead. A gentleman of very powerful fighting background. He is what we consider a human, or a half-Faelan, or is a half-elf, half-human, half-elf. And being a subject of the undead, you know, he is, his powers of hatred and are increased, so to speak. I mean, he's being enabled to feed off of that hatred and just basically sent out on a path of destruction that his lord and master, Azarek, has sent him out to do. And he focuses his attention on magic users. So Thane has been capturing magic users by any means necessary and pretty much outright killing them all, every chance he gets. And so that's pretty much how we meet these first two characters. Excuse me. got a slight allergy problem happening. I apologize for any sniffles you all might hear. That time of year in a part of Ohio that I'm in. So that's how we are encountered with these first two characters. So having just returned home from about 10 years of arcane study in Andahai, Adriana discovers herself with a group of individuals pretty much just thrown together, as many fantasy adventures start in a bar. what a better way, you know, everybody's already eating and drinking. Hey, this adventure sounds good, you know, let's go out and take over the world. As many of us may be familiar with, you know, when you get a couple of drinks in you, you feel like you could do anything you want. But suddenly she's enveloped within a power struggle between, you know, against insurmountable evils pretty much everywhere she turns around. And she starts thinking her life is forfeit, as well as all the countless lives on the world of Shandahar. And as I mentioned, Thane is creation of one of the most powerful sorcerers ever to walk Shandahar. And he is a classification of undead that we call the Asmanthus or Death Knights. Just very powerful undead warriors, pretty much is what the Asmanthus are. And he's given a green light to exact his vengeance as his cruel heart desires. So despite the demons of Adriana's past and this subsequent weakness within her soul, she, with the help of her friends, finds her inner strength with Thane following behind her. You know, he finds out that she's a magic user, somebody that he has told his master that he would destroy, that I will destroy any kind of magic user to keep them from ever trying to defeat you. So she flees all over the continent. She goes looking in a quest to find her sister and other individuals, you know, anybody she could pretty much find that can help her win this war and power struggle and possibly break the curse that she has discovered through rare arcane study, that she is one of the many individuals that can possibly break this curse.
I was going to tell you what, Heidi had a question in the chat, and I'll convey it to you. But Heidi, since I see you in there, and if you'd like to call in, and would you be open to questions, Ted, about the books from calling the people
absolutely.
In the chat?
Absolutely.
I thought so. So Heidi, if you'd like, we do have a call-in number here at Bard's Logic Political Talk, and that is area code 347-945-7428. And let me repeat that. It's area code 347-945-7428. So if you'd like to call in and ask him questions or chat about the book, feel free to do so. But until then, I will go ahead and read the question she had in the chat, and says, so was Adriana ostracized from her family because she was a magic user and her father was not? Maybe the mom was. What's the question?
Okay, that's a good question. Her mother was a magic user as well. Adriana was pretty much ostracized from birth because her father blames her for his wife's death. It had nothing, and there was the possibility with her being born that she could be a magic user, but that's pretty much the main reason why her father hated her and ostracized her from birth, was he blamed her for his wife's death. She took his life and soul away from him. That's pretty much how he sees it. As cruel and heartless as that may seem, that's how he sees it.
Okay, now with the other character, the antagonist, Well, what is the motivation behind, what are the motivations behind him and what he does? I mean, when you just, you describe about Adriana, but he also, as you said, he was a minion of the undead, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what, and how did, I mean, I'm not trying to give, I mean, the books are very expansive, so we, even if we spent the, you know, entire hour and a half talking about specific parts of the book, you still would not cover, you know, everything. So this might be, you know, this might be some what they call it, not teasers, but spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
However, that still wouldn't spoil the entire novels, just because, you know, they are so, you know, expansive. There's so much in them. There'd be no way to discuss everything that would be in them in a one,
right,
you know, an hour and 45 minutes time frame, so, or an hour and 15 minute time frame.
Yeah.
So go ahead, if you don't mind, with that question.
So his main motivation was, you know, he was raised with a lot of hatred, and he died with a lot of hatred in his heart, and he died a very powerful warrior when he was brought back to unlife, so to speak. Those powers of hatred and his prowess in combat were increased. So his hatred for anything magical or magic wielding, you know, as far as people, was increased. So
what did he have a hatred for magic? Did it take away a hatred for magic?
Well, that's his hatred for magic is something the reader, you know, the people are going to have to buy the book to find that out on, because that would reveal a little bit too much of that's too much of a spoiler alert right there.
Oh, okay. Well, Heidi just put in the chat, says, gotcha, I'll wait for the next show. I will have to reread the books. It's been a while. Then I'll feel comfortable asking the questions.
Oh,
yeah, okay. And we'll definitely like to have Ted on again, and I would like to eventually have his co-author on if we could get her to come onto the show. I understand she's busy, and this is one of the things that Ted does. He gets around and does the circuits, selling and promoting the book, and does the interview circuits. But it's going to be great to have the co-author on as well. And one of the reasons why we had, this is the second time we've had Ted on, and one of those reasons, of course, you know, because as I said, the books are expansive, and we could cover them many times and still not cover everything that's in the book. But I also thought, since, you know, Ted's, the genre of Ted's book is, you know, fantasy fiction, it's a good segue, or an opening act, so to speak, to the interview I have tomorrow night with Aubrey Ashburn, which she has. But, oh, and this could be something we could talk about later, Ted, is that I put in the description. It's what she's done is she, oh, my gosh, think about this. She's done a lot of music, writing lyrics, and, you know, singing songs in, you know, hit games such as, you know, such as Dragon Age and Rift and Lord of the Rings, most recently Alice in Wonderland, and others. And so, since those are kind of like the fantasy, you know, fiction kind of genre, you know, kind of flavor to it, then I thought this would be a good opening act for her interview tomorrow. But I brought something up in that little soliloquy there, Ted, about a movie, and what here's this game. And I know in the description you say one of the things you'd like to see happen with the World of Shandahar is it become a movie series, and that's something we can talk about, you know, later on, and I'd like to, but also the possibility of what your thoughts are in some way of it being produced into a video game.
That is a great idea. I am actually thinking about it and considering it, and you know, that's something me and Tracy are going to have to sit down and talk about, you know, figure out, you know, which direction.
Find a game developer to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be phenomenal. I mean, that'd be awesome to have a game developer come in and maybe Aubrey Ashburn sing a song or write some lyrics to some of the music. That'd be phenomenal.
Yeah, it would be. So BioWare or EA, if you're listening, there you go.
Yeah, read the book. Well, and one of the ways when I describe, you know, when I've read the series is it's very, I mean, because of its epic nature, it's very reminiscent of the Lord of the Rings series, because it really defines, and this will be, I guess, a good way of getting back to you describing the main characters, is you really get to know the different characters in there, and there's really a lot of character building, you know, building up the characters. You get to know the characters in the novels.
Yeah.
You know? And that's
Tracy
something
and I
think
have.
Go ahead.
Tracy and I have gotten a lot of compliments, and we're still getting a ton of compliments about our character development and how real our characters seem. Our characters get sick. You know, they get tired. As I described the first time I was on your show, our characters get sick. You know, we write about that. We write about our characters getting tired of being around each other. You know, you're on the road, like, for months on end. They start to get their little bickers going, you know, hey, you know, and they, you know, the next time we stop for camp, if there's a river nearby, you need to wash your stinky butt because, you know, or you know, I'm just getting tired of hearing your annoyance. Just get away from me for a couple minutes. Our characters get sick, you know, they get the flu or, you know, they get, you know, the cold and the flu and other types of mild illnesses, and they change their clothes. You know, we don't keep our characters in the same kind of regular clothing that a lot of fantasy adventure books, through no mistake through the writers, of course, but, you know, everybody falls into that trap of keeping everybody in the same kind of clothes, and that's one thing Tracy and I put a lot of focus and attention on is our characters need to seem believable. If we don't believe where our characters are going and where what things we're putting them through, no one's going to like it. No one's going to believe it. So if we don't believe it, our readers aren't going to believe it, and they won't like it.
Well, speaking of the changing of clothing, on Facebook, you have a Facebook page for The World of Shandahar, which I've seen some of the pictures. Some of them are very nice drawings.
Yeah, they are. We've got a lot of really wonderful artists working with us, and I am honored to have, you know, Carol Phillips has been with us for a little while, putting up some incredible artwork. Lindsay Archer worked with us for a couple of our books. She's an amazing artist. You know, we were lucky to have her. She's done work for Dragonlance in the past. If you've read any of the past Dragonlance novels, you've more than likely have held Lindsay Archer's artwork in your hands. So me and Tracy have been very fortunate to get a lot of really nice and wonderful artists working with us in our adventure series.
Yeah, and what I'd like to do is see, I'm on Facebook now. What I will do, if it's okay with you, Ted, is I will go to the, and this is part of the multitasking I was talking about earlier that I do here on the show, is because I have the studio, I have the chat, and I have Facebook all up and running and going on the show, because that's one of the things
wow.
with Blog Talk Radio. It's so, yeah, it's so interactive, and you got many ways that you could bring in the audience. And we're actually even, I'm with a group called A Conservative Conversation. We're actually working on other ways to get the shows even more interactive through, like, things such as Ustream and live video chat. But
okay. Be
that as it may, I digress. I'm going to, if you don't mind, as I said, put the link to the Facebook page of the group of The World of Shandahar in the chat. So I will
yes, please. Yes.
And paste it here. And one thing I do for the audience that will be listening to this on archives and does not have the advantage of seeing the chat or being in the chat, I will slowly read off the link. And also another positive about Blog Talk Radio is when you're listening to the archives, you can rewind it again and again and again, and you can even download the show and put them on your iPod and listen to them later. So the link to the Facebook page, if people would like to check it out, is https://www.facebook.com/groups/ and then a series of numbers here, which after the four slash is 1239336499 60 and then a forward slash. And that will take you to just put that in your browser and should take you to the Facebook page for A World of Shandar. And then you would that was redundant. then you would be able to see these pictures that we are talking about. And since Blog Talk Radio is on the internet, people who are in chat can also, or listening to the show as well, can also visit those links and visit those pages and see those pictures as the show is going on. So that's another way that the interface and the interaction is really good. I really like that. So go ahead. Get back to the characters, because you were spending some time giving more information on the specific characters, the main characters in the book.
Well, actually, going back to the Facebook page, for people to go on the Facebook page, this is an open book or an open group page. I don't know how many group pages are out there on Facebook where you have to know somebody to get in or anything. I didn't want to do that when I created the group page. So, everybody should be able to access it through the HTTP link that you just read off, Rob, and the link that you copy and pasted on your blog talk show. I greatly appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, we'll bring that up when you're done.
yes. So, it is an open group. Everybody can go, anybody who's listening to the show can go there and join to be a member of the group, so you can read everything Tracy and I are working on. And you can follow us at any of the events that, if you're going to be in the area, you can go there to shake hands with us and get some books signed. And another thing people will see is a lot of the black and white artwork that people will see on the group World of Shandar page, that is future interior artwork. Some of that is future interior artwork, which will appear in our novels. And the colored artwork, a lot of the current colored artwork is what the covers are of that particular book will look like. So we're giving everybody a first look at what our covers and interior artwork are going to look like.
And speaking of the website you mentioned, Bard's Logic Political Talk does have a website, and for the benefit of the people in chat, I will put a link so people can go to it, and what they can do is they can see the website, and I will walk people through it if they would go to it here. So I'm going to copy the link and put it in chat. So
give
me
for
a moment and bear with me. Well, this is the link to the show's website. But the reason why I'm doing this is if people can follow the link either now or at some other time, they can go to the, and I'll walk them through how to get it. But you can go to the website and go to the featured guest page. And if you go to the featured guest page, on the far left, you will see the link to the World of the Chronicles of Shandar. And the way to do it is just go down where you will see Ted's website. And you just click on the button that says Ted's website, and it will take you straight to the World of Shandar website. So there you have it for that.
Awesome.
People like
Thank
to
you
go,
very much.
You're welcome, Phil. People in the chat now would like to visit both my website and Ted's. That would be great. And also on the homepage of Blog Talk Radio, while I'm thinking about it, not Blog Talk Radio, but the homepage of Bard's Logic Political Talk, if you would be so kind, if you'd like the show or like to follow the show, under the icon, you will find a little follow button. And you just click that button, and you'll be able to follow the show, Bard's Logic Political Talk. And all that does, I believe, is, because I don't follow myself, I think that might be a little narcissistic to follow myself. but what I believe it does, it sends you links to, it sends you emails, of upcoming shows, and that's all that does. Because, I follow other Blog Talk Radio shows, and that's what they do for when I follow them, is just send me email reminders. So that being said, I want to say hi to a few people here. I notice Lugnut is in the chat. Hi, Lugnut. Thank you very much for coming. It's good to see you. Thank you very much. And I see a couple more guests that have come in. There's simply says guest 8331 and guest 8755. I appreciate you coming, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the show. Oh, wait a minute. Somebody chimed in here in the chat, so I like to read what people say in the chat, because it really brings the audience in into the show and be a part of it. It says, ha-ha, you should follow yourself. What if it gives a notice that says, Bard is weird? Oh, that, I guess. I don't know. Does it? Does it, Tessa? Do you follow the show? But if you don't, go ahead and follow the show. And then you can let me know if it says I'm weird. Of course, some would contend that, yes, indeed, he is. No clue. Well, Tessa, you got to see if you're – I never checked my email. Well, as I said, Tessa, you can just go to the homepage or just scroll up to the top of where you're listening to the show now, and you'll see the show's icon. But right now, instead of the show's icon, you actually see the face of Ted Krim. And then under the face will be the follow button.
How to adjust the pixel graphics on your video card. That is exactly what I look like.
that is the face of the man you are hearing.
Yeah.
So I would like to just thank everybody.
I'd like to make the announcement. I am not, I don't want to be held liable for anybody having to go to the hospital or, have you seen anybody's video card because it blew up when you clicked on the switch?
We'll get back on topic for people who like to, sifting through the website and the links. It says, I will never tell, Heidi says.
I was going to say, for the people that just joined us, Ted Krim, one of the two writers, Chronicles of Shandahar, you can go to my website and read the first chapter of all of my books there, and my website is www.worldofshandahar, and Shandahar is spelled Shandahar. Again, you could read the first chapter of all of my books there, and you can also purchase the books from there as well. The books, if you order from our website, are coming from mine and Tracy's personal stock at our homes, and they will come to you signed by both of us, which is an extra added bonus, getting a signed copy from us, which is something a lot of people like. So there you go, something to add to your collection.
There you go. Now, that's a good question. I'm glad you brought up collection. Do you still have any of the old series? Because you guys had the three books out, and then you got a new publisher, and you had to revamp the books. So do you have – oh, hi, Cindy. Thank you very much for coming in. I see her coming in the chat. No problem for dragging your rear. That's okay. We all do that. I do that too. So, hey, it's better to drag your rear than to drag your face.
Yeah.
She tells us she was working. How dare you work, Cindy? How dare you? I'm just kidding, but I digress. And you know, I really appreciate the, you know, Cindy is definitely one of our, and same as Tessa, definitely one of the folks that come in here on a nightly basis, and I really appreciate their advocacy and their support of the show. It's really really done well. We're actually, I mean, things fluctuate, but as right now, Bars Lodge Political Talk is it's a conservative political show. But right now it's ranked number 6 of all the shows, which is I'm really happy about that. And of course,
wow,
the
congratulations!
Audience, thank you, thank you. And it's the audience that brings us there. I mean, this is definitely an audience-driven show, both with the people who come in and listen live, and for people that, you know, listen on the archives. So, and of course, you know, if it wasn't for the audience, you know, we wouldn't be there. And with the continued support and advocacy, I think we can, you know, bring it to even higher, you know, numbers. So I really appreciate it. Thank you. And actually, if people like to listen to one of the archives this past Sunday, I believe, which was my 2 months on being on Blog Talk Radio, I had kind of a thank the audience night and thank the people who've helped contribute to the success of the show, and including some of the hosts of other shows that, you know, I was started out on as a guest. Before I developed this show, and they really contributed as well to this show, so I really appreciate it. So I just recommend people, if they'd like to hear that, listen to the archive. It was a really good show. But we're getting off topic. I want to talk about the world of Shandahar. Now, is there anything specific about the world itself that you would like to share with the audience since I brought that up?
Wow, there's a lot of things, but you know, as somebody that's read it, is there any points that you that you would like a little bit of elaboration on? Are there any questions as you, Mr. Jetter, have, you know, since you've read it? Is there anything you would like me to elaborate on? Because I could go on forever talking about the books, but you know, let's you know, I mean the floor is open to questions, obviously, but you know. I'm just curious to know what you think, and are there any questions that you have?
Well, I have two questions that come up the top of my head since I've, you know, as I said, I've read the novels. One is, could you tell, my favorite character in the whole story was Trice.
He is a great character. He's one of my favorites. I spent a lot of time working on that character, and I'm glad you like him.
But, tell with the audience about, you know, my favorite character, which is Trice, and which kind of, you know, in some ways identified with the character, you know, so, but tell the audience, if you would, you know, more about the character Trice, because that was my favorite in the book.
Sure. Trice is a human bard, somebody of the entertainment field, who sits around in various pubs or taverns and playing music and telling stories, writing poetry, displaying his poetry to others. But he joins up with a group of individuals, excuse me, a famous group, and the group of individuals that he teams up with are called themselves the Wild Runners, and they, through just happenstance, develop quite a popular name for themselves by the acts of goodness that they have done. I guess, for lack of a better phrase, their acts of goodness. But with all the powerful evils and tasks that they've done to help people in other cities and towns. But Trice, getting back to him, something happens on one of their adventures where there is a perfect storm of explosions, so to speak, where a magical explosion fuses his body and a type of demon that Tracy and I called a Merzillith. It is magical explosion fuses both of their bodies together in one. So Trice still looks like the handsome human individual he was, with the exception of his left eye I believe we describe it as his left eye. I can't remember if, you know, wow. That's so...
Read the book, folks, and find out which eye it was.
It is soulless and black. And he wears an eye patch to cover that up for one, but two, it keeps that demon quiet in his head. It does not allow... Trife does not allow its influence to control his body. But Trife also discovers that he now possesses a lot of the mental powers of the Mirzilla. So he can telekinetic, he can control objects with his mind. He can influence people's thoughts. He can read their thoughts, communicate people telepathically. He can get a psychic impression, you know, of an object when he touches it. So he's in this power struggle with himself, trying to keep this demon at bay while at the same time being able to use its powers. And, you know, he's trying, through this series of books, he's trying to learn that balance of how he can keep his sanity while at the same time gaining from this demon's benefits at the same time. So it's a really unique and sometimes scary power struggle that goes on within his mind, that he manages to keep this, a lot of the mental struggles, that he keeps this to himself and doesn't really disclose it with anybody. Because the way Trice sees it, this is something that he has to overcome on his own. Nobody else is going to understand, and nobody else can really help him, because he's the only person in this world that is like that.
Now, you mentioned the Wild Runners, which, you know, they're not talked about a lot, the group. It's like cameo appearances, and it really, you know, and it talks, and hints at, I should say, it hints at, you know, the adventures this group has had in the past. Now, is there any talking or discussion between you and your co-author about the possibility of novels being put out based on that group and the characters that were in that group?
Yeah. Me and Tracy are still talking about that. We have nothing definitive yet. But keep a watch out, you know, on our website. You know, as soon as Tracy and I decide where we want to start and go with that story, it will be up on our group page, and, you know, as soon as, you know, well, I can't pretty much say as soon as we decide, but, you know, when the time permits and we're actually able to sit down and concentrate where we want to go with the Wild Runners, yeah. They do make some cameo appearances in the books, but later on, the group of people that Adriana travels with and the Wild Runners, they do join forces later in the series.
Now, someone in the chat, Cindy Kaiser in the chat, asked, is this book like 50 Shades of Grey? Are you familiar with that book?
I can say no. I have no dealings with 50 Shades of Grey.
Okay, well, what I'd like to put out to Cindy, if she would, is one of two things. Of course, if you know, give us a little synopsis of, because I honestly must say, I have never heard of 50 Shades of Grey. Tessa put, oh, that was sarcastic. Oh, okay. Okay, sorry, Cindy. And then Tessa said, never read 50 Shades of Grey. Seems a bit closer to David Eddings, et cetera. It's a hot book. Well, that's interesting. Well, speaking of a hot book, there definitely is some hotness, I guess you can say, if we want to go down that road, that is contained in the Chronicles of Shandahar. This is a family show, but would you like to touch base a little bit on, you know, on the positive hotness part that's in there that would appease to, you know, men and women a lot, especially since the women in the show are actually like the main characters. It seems through a lot of the book is seen through the prism of a woman's viewpoint. Am I right in that?
Yes. This book is pretty much from Adriana's point of view.
Real quick, Ted, I just want to put what Heidi chimed in. You really don't want to go there. She says, I won't. I just got mine. Okay. So, but now we just, I know nothing yet. Okay, well, if you could describe it a little bit, because, there, I mean, it is seen through a woman's point of view, correct?
Yes, it is. It
a
is.
Lot of it.
This, I'd say a good maybe 80% of this book is from Adriana's point of view. You really get to see this character grow not only into her own power, but grow as a woman. You know, she starts to she learns the powers of her own sexuality, so to speak. You know, she doesn't understand why all these individuals are attracted to her. You know, she doesn't understand why these men balk at her and some women kind of look down at her, because she doesn't see herself as attractive and charming and charismatic. She sees herself as somebody that has been scarred deeply, you know, through very vicious rapes, and has been beaten up and looked down upon by everybody. She doesn't see herself as this possibly sexually charged individual. But later in the books, she starts to understand it and comes to grips with it, so to speak, and she doesn't use it to her advantage, which is a very important aspect of her personality. She does not take advantage of it and use it to her advantage, I guess, but she keeps a very healthy balance with her own with her charms and ways, so to speak.
Going to the chat, Ted, I'm reading the chat. It's become very interesting here. Is it says, oh yeah, the almost immediate. Oh, okay. Yeah, Tessa put, oh dear. We're talking about the hotness. I'm not going to rush. Yeah, I'm not going to run into pornish stuff, am I? My Anita Blake series did after 6 flipping books. I was ticked off. And then
no.
He put oh yeah. And then Tessa replied, oh crap. And then Heidi says, almost immediately, sorry love. And then Cindy Kaiser says, I got the trilogy. I hope it was worth it. So Cindy, you saying you picked up the Chronicles of Shandahar trilogy? Are you talking about the 50 Shades of Grey that you got the trilogy? You can chime in on that. That'd be great. Well, yeah, because
my books do not become pornographic. No, they do not. You have nothing to fear with that. Tracy and I have cut everything off. We kind of allude to certain things, but no, they do not become pornographic at all.
I was going to say, it's very, well, the reason I said, you know, hotness and women, you know, women's point of view, because I was reading it and I must say I was intrigued, because I know, Adriana's portions were written by your the co-author, correct?
Some of it is, but you
well,
know,
I'm talking
Tracy
about the hottest
has...
parts. Well, because it had, I mean, I'm just thinking that it had to be written by a woman, because they're talking about like fire in the belly and all this other tingle stuff.
Some
I'm like,
it,
only a woman would know how to describe that.
Some of it has been written by Tracy, but I wrote a lot of that myself. Tracy trusted me enough to trust my own instinct, and, you know, I learned from Tracy how to kind of think as a woman on certain areas, and, you know, I went with my gut instinct, and, you know, from what, you know, from the little bit that is in the books, you know, that came from me, but yes, you know, a lot of it came from Tracy.
I don't think I'm going to be able to read those parts in the same way again.
Well, you know, men can learn a lot about women if they just kind of pay attention.
Oh, I used to get made fun of. Here's a little personal story for people. maybe I'll have to take this off of the archives, and delete. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do it. But actually, when I was a younger man, I used to actually read stuff like the Red Book and stuff like that in order to try to, you know, get inside the woman's mind and see how they think. by, you know, read, people are like, why are you reading Red Book or something like that? I'm like, hey, I'm trying to, you know, figure women out. But anyway, I digress.
Yeah, but I've even written some of that as well from Adriana's point of view. You know, I took a chance. You know, Tracy trusted me enough to go with what I felt comfortable with.
Yeah, and then okay, I'll go back to the chat. You know, like as I said, like the bring him in says.
Mm-hmm.
Cindy says, yeah, I got the trilogy. I hope it's worth it. Oh, no, but I will if it's hot. Oh, no, she didn't get your books yet, which later on we'll give, we'll put a link in. I guess you could get your books to the website. We can go over that later. And she says she can, if it's hot, she can live with it. That's what Tessa said. And then Cindy chimes in, women wanting something. I hope that women wanting something is not porn. And then Heidi said, why not, Mark? I don't know what she meant, why not, Mark. But one said, no, Cindy said she never read Red Book. Well, I'll say that 10 times fast or 5 times fast. Says, yeah, I don't expect, okay, this is Tess, I guess talking about the genre itself. Yeah, I don't expect to find it in my fantasy novels. I like having books I can hand off. Oh, okay. I like having books I can hand off to my kids without being embarrassed. Yeah, well, and you know what, you know, tell about the fairs. I mean, you go to the Ohio Fair and the Kentucky Fair, and sometimes you'll have people who are younger that you recommend not reading the books? Or?
Yes. I don't recommend the books for anyone under 16 years of age because Tracy and I are graphic with our violence. And, you know, there is a graphic rape scene in my books. So, you know, unlike a lot of the TV programs and movies and music or whatever, people just don't feel comfortable with their kids reading it. And I would much rather lose a sale on a book based on that premise than having angry parents chasing me down with pitchforks and torches.
Yeah. So it's not even quite like a PG-13 book. It's more, as you said, for 16 and above.
Yes. Unless, of course, you know, the parent reads the book and decides, you know, well, my child is mature enough to handle this. It's okay for them. But, you know, I let the parents make that decision. I don't push a sale on anybody. I would much rather lose a sale than, you know, as I mentioned, having angry parents chase me down, because that actually happened to me once.
Oh, my gosh,
you know,
wow. Do you mind telling us the story?
Yes. No,
like
I wouldn't mind
stories.
At all. It was 2005 when our books first came out, and I was selling at the Ohio Renaissance Festival by myself, and a parent, you know, a mother came over with her child. I think the individual, I can't remember if it was a boy or a girl, but, you know, it was about 13 years of age, 12 or 13. They bought a book and came back the following weekend, and I gave them the money back because the mother was absolutely furious with me over selling a book, and I did not warn them about that rape scene and some of the graphic violence that we have in it.
But just like anything, Ted, I mean, especially when you're starting something new, I know, you know, there's always a learning curve, you know, and you learn from things like that, and you move forward. I mean, you know, that's just something that you learn through, you know, doing, because you said that was one of the first times you're out there selling it, correct?
Yes, that was the very first time we were selling our books, our very first sale. Well, not so much our very first sale, but yeah, it was our first year selling our books, and they just came out that year as well in 2005.
Oh, and then I guess now what says the innate, Tessa is talking about says like something with Anita Blake's series. If you could chime in about the Anita Blake series, or if Ted don't mind, if you want to call in Tessa and talk about it and maybe do some comparisons with it. The call-in number, if anyone would like, is area code 347-945-7428. You know, we can have a discussion, have a conversation and dialogue here on it. But it says something about the Anita Blake series, because my 14-year-old and I were reading them, I guess, together. Me first, thank God, and then book 6, ARG, I guess, you know. And then, Heidi, I agree with the maturity of the child. Okay. Yeah, the maturity of the child. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. It's apparently vampire erotica. Okay. Only it wasn't for the first five books. Okay, I guess the first five books were just about vampires in general, some kind of vampire life or something. And then, well, through my understanding, I mean, I didn't watch any of the Harry Potter, read any of the Harry Potter books, but I heard towards the end, you know, I won't say they got racy, but they got, there were some scenes or something, maybe, I don't know. I'd never seen the books read the books or seen the movies. But that's just something I heard. I could be mistaken.
Yeah. I would say right around The Prisoner of Azkaban, I think it was the third book or the third movie, I think it starts taking a dark turn right around at that point. You start seeing a dark side.
Did it become like an erotica thing or something? Or I don't like she's saying a vampire erotica.
I didn't really catch that, so I could be blind to that. I didn't read the books myself. And I barely remember the movies.
Yeah, I think I seen one of them, like the third one or one of them on a date one time, and I was totally lost. So I never seen any of the other ones. But it's what the person, it's what she wanted to go see. So I'm like, oh, okay. You know, the guy's, okay. But I digress. So we saw it earlier, you could go to your website, and you can buy the books from there? You can purchase the books from there?
Yes. You can purchase the books from our website. If you have a PayPal account, we do everything securely through PayPal. And you can read the first chapter of all of my books on my website. You can get a very brief character description on our website for our four staple characters, our four main heroes, Adriana Darnes, Sirion Timberland, Denim Coabra, and Sheridana Darnes, who is Adriana's sister.
Yeah, well, Cindy Kaiser asked you a question, and you could probably explain this pretty well, I would think. She asked, what is Renaissance? Well, I guess when we're referring to that, you've sold the books at Renaissance fairs.
Well,
you can describe Renaissance to her.
We're talking about Elizabethan, the Renaissance era, right around the circa 1500. We're talking the really big, frilly hoop dresses, people speaking in Old English. You've got pirates walking around.
Is it kind of gothic? Would you say gothic?
Some people do,
maybe?
dressed in goth kind of armor.
That's what I like.
There are people that do that. There are people that show up to Renaissance fairs dressed as emo or vampires. I've even seen a couple of individuals. One of the individuals that's a fan of my book series, he dresses as a necromancer. He comes around and he's purchased books and read them.
The Renaissance, that's pretty much what the Renaissance festivals are. You got people that dress as fairies, warriors, barbarians, Vikings, a lot of Highland individuals, or if you're not familiar with that term, Scotsmen, Irishmen, Scandinavians. So that's anybody around in the 1500s, it's fair game. You got a lot of German barbarians, Italian swordsmen. It's a really fun time. If you've not gone to a Renaissance fair, I would recommend going. It is so much fun.
Yeah, I've been to Ohio Renaissance fair. I absolutely love it. And I like to put the costume on. Reminds me of Halloween, which is my favorite holiday. So I really enjoy the fairs myself.
Mm-hmm.
So is there anything about the other books? It sounds like you covered a lot about book one. Is there any teasers you'd like to give on the other books?
Well, yeah. At one point in Adriana's career, she gets taken from her group
to undergo a different kind of magical study. She gets taken by, or not so much taken, I don't want to make it seem like somebody just grabs her and drags her off. No, no, no. we have a god of magic who approaches Adriana, and he says, I would like you to come study magic under me, and I will teach you what magic is really about. I will teach you how to harness that power and have it do literally whatever you want, but you have to come with me now. And she's at a crossroad because, you know, she's getting really close to the point where they can defeat this major evil. This extra power, this god of magic, Talachin and Corrupt, the kind of power that he can help her harness would give her and her friends more of an advantage. But she's also fallen in love with our ranger, Sirion Timberland. A very hard and hard-edged individual. For those of you who are fans of the X-Men movie or the comic books, think of Wolverine. That's pretty much how we have, Tracy and I have created him. He's got a very hard exterior, but when you break through, you know, you see the human qualities of him, even though he's an elf. But she ends up. So she's at that crossroad where she's not really sure. You know, I'll let part of that cat out of the bag. She ends up going to Talachinan's palace.
And who's Talachinan for the people who have not read the book?
Yes, Talachinan, or we go by his abbreviation TC a lot. She ends up going to Talachinan's citadel.
I'm sorry, Ted, but for the people who have not read the book, who is Talachinan?
Talachinan is our god of magic. He has created a school of magic called dimensionalism. And what that means is he's able to travel from planet to planet, harnessing the powers and learning the creatures that walk those different planets of existence. Haldor, which is our world of dragons,
is he a big softy like you, Heidi? Yeah.
Oh, Heidi. No, he is nothing like me. Actually, in our next book series, Darkness of Ancillar, Captain Cervantes Conradi is myself, pretty much tailored after me. Cervantes is a big softie like myself.
Well, there you go. Oh, and Heidi, those turkey legs you love so much, to my understanding, they're actually emu. Go ahead. I don't know. Yeah, I hope I didn't ruin the turkey legs for her, but that's right, isn't it? Isn't it emu? It's not really turkey legs?
I've never seen a turkey with a leg that large before. Unless there's a wild turkey farm somewhere, but it looks and tastes like emu to me. I've eaten emu before, and you know, if it smells like it and tastes like it, it's got to be.
It's emu. Hey, I don't care. It tastes really good. It goes great with a Guinness.
Well, give me a Newcastle for me.
Well, yeah, Smidwick's too is good.
Smidwick's is very good, but we're straying off topic again.
Yes, we are. Now we're starting to talk. But, you can't talk about fantasy fiction novels and beer not come up somehow.
It can't. And, sitting here thinking about this reminds me of another compliment Tracy and I get, or actually I get a lot since a lot of people see me at the Renaissance fairs, is, people love the fact that our group of characters in our first story are sitting around a table in an inn, making a list of equipment, eating and drinking. people just love that. It brings them back to their old D&D role-playing game scenes where they're all table eating and drinking, and everybody's making a list of the equipment that they're going to need. Do we have enough food? We need some wineskins. We're going to need a whole lot of rope. But yeah, our characters do that at one point in our books, and I get a lot of compliments about that.
Well, I'm going to chime in about the for the chat. I respect you too, Cindy. Thank you very much. It's just they're having some little chit-chat between some of the ladies in the chat. But you brought up Dungeons & Dragons, and so I think that would be a good segue into what was the impetus behind writing the book. You know, what were some of the creative ideas? Maybe not creative ideas, but, you know, I know that Dungeons & Dragons is an interest as a role-playing game, got you into the genre, is what I mean. So how did that come about?
Well, our stories are based off an adventure that Tracy and I ran a long time ago. You know, the group enjoyed the storyline that I was creating, and Tracy wanted to turn it into a book series. And I wanted to help, and we did that, and we sat down and created a whole, you know, we're still actually in the process of creating the rules, but we had enough of a skeleton that we could shape and create our own universe, which gave birth to Shandahar. You know, it was just that idea from an adventure and a great story that led to the publishing of books based off of our stories.
Let's see, I got in the chat, Heidi, she said, whose porch do we play that on, Rob? Guess talk about what she's talking about, us playing playing Dungeons & Dragons. I believe, we played Dungeons & Dragons in my front porch, didn't we? I think that's when we played it. She calls me, yeah, Rob, that's my, I go by Robert in some venues. Yeah, she knows me as Rob. And people actually, boy, this is getting on a personal note. I'm not used to this. with Heidi coming in, it's really gotten to a personal note. But when I was a kid, they used to call me, what, Heidi? You remember what they used to call me? I know you do, Ted. but you, Heidi, what they used to call me when I was even younger. I wonder if she recalls that. It has been some time ago. But Cindy chimes in and says, that scares me. I grew up with the people with Dungeons & Dragons, and they killed people I know. Wow. Can you speak on that seriously? I can, Cindy. And I'm sure Ted could as well.
You know, it's the job of the games master.
She's serious. It sounds like she knew people who actually who played Dungeons & Dragons actually went out and killed people that they know. Cindy, I'll be serious enough for a minute. I mean, when I started playing Dungeons & Dragons when I was in the sixth grade. We play for hours on end and things of that nature. Yes, you're right, Heidi. That was my nickname when I was a child, a kid. But I've never had any detrimental effects. They even made a movie. I can't remember what. Was it Mazes and Monsters?
Mazes and Monsters was one, and there was another one. I can't really remember the name of it, but Tom Hanks starred in that movie.
And it was based on new things happening in Dungeons & Dragons. You know, but
yeah.
I mean, we had a group of friends, you know, where we got together and we played. You know, it's a game. You roll dice and you know, it's kind of. You know, you had characters that you built. You had pen and paper, and you had a bunch of books that and had roles, and you kind of like acted out the parts. Now, but I mean, acting out, you're not like moving around. You're kind of sitting around a table, and okay, well, my character does this, and you know, they swing their sword, or they cast a spell, or something of that nature. But I think, and Cindy, please chime in if you will, or if you'd like to call in to talk about it. I mean, it's definitely a topic we can discuss.
Ladies, please call in. I would love to hear your melodic voices.
There you go. It's 347-945-7428 if you guys want to chime in about the books or this topic that has evolved. And that happens on the Blog Talk Radio shows. That's why we call them organic shows. You know, because, you know, sometimes we get onto a topic, we'll just go ahead and cover it. I promise I am not shy Okay, that's fine. But yeah, some people have taken it too far, and I believe that, you know, the people who have, who went out and, as you said, you know, they killed people, and I know that that happened, is I think that they used Dungeons & Dragons not as a form of entertainment for them. They used it as a form of escape.
Yeah.
From, you know, whatever problems that are going on in their life. And when you do play a role-playing game, your character is built up in power. Okay, that's kind of one of the reasons you play the game. Okay, and what the people who use it as an escape do is they start replacing their real life. They start replacing their real life with what goes on into the game. And there's things that you can role play out or get away with in the game that you couldn't get away with in real life, and they cross that line. And so that's my take on it. And what do you think, Ted?
I agree. Yeah, these people, you know, a lot of these people, you know, I, of course, I mean no insult. You know, if it comes off that way to anyone who knew someone that took their life or someone else's, but you know, a lot of times some of those people were mentally not stable when they entered the game to begin with, and this just amplified whatever. You know, was happening in their own personal life, as you mentioned, Rob, and just amplified it to a point where they could not tell reality from fantasy anymore, and they just
right, that's
went.
True.
You know, it's really given a lot of things, you know, like heavy metal music, you know, it's given a lot of things a real bad reputation, you know, just because of these unfortunate accidents.
Right. I mean, I played Dungeons & Dragons, and I was into heavy metal music, and if how you remember, I was actually in a band at some point. I was actually sang in a heavy metal band for a little while, how you recall. But, you know, I think I turned out all right. So, you know.
If anything, Dungeons & Dragons helped me pass world history because, you
yeah.
know... a lot of the game, you know, the monsters and the weapons and that come from, you know, mythologies from around the world. A lot of the weapons actually existed once upon a time. So, you know, this game actually helped me pass world history in a lot of ways.
Okay, Cindy says, you will snap any day now, Robert. You know, well, and this is normally a political show, so maybe I'll put a little politics in it. And Cindy, that's only going to happen if Romney gets, you know, to be the official nominee for the Republican Party. Then I might.
And I'll
okay.
let it be known. I'll let it be known now. The only thing I'm going to snap is into a Slim Jim.
Snap into a Slim Jim. There you go. Hey, that was a commercial. They need to give us some money for that now. No, but give me some money. But anyway, yes, I will write. Cindy says I will write. You're going to write me, Cindy. I really appreciate that. Yeah, I think it is the response that, yeah, in my garage, yes, and thank you. She said I turned out great. Thank you very much. So, yeah, so, I mean, it's not all bad. I know my mom used to be like, oh, you know, you're playing Dungeons & Dragons bad, but, you know, it's not.
My
I mean,
mom
I understand where
way.
Things like that. Yeah, oh, I know you're beyond that. I know that. But I hope that answers your question, Cindy. Which actually I have a sister named Cindy, which spells it pretty similar to what you do, minus the E. Oh, yes, Cindy, I know you're just teasing me. I know you are. No, I know. But I'm telling you, if Ron does get the nomination, I probably will grab a sword and protest. I'm just kidding. But to disclaimer for the people who are going to listen to this on the archives and other ways, I'm just kidding about grabbing a sword. I know sometimes in some of my other shows when I'm talking politics and we say something metaphorically, it's taken out of context. So sometimes we have to have little disclaimers.
No.
But anyway, Wednesday nights is get off for one night of the political topic. Or so I'm going to do that tonight. And actually, I'm going to do that again tomorrow night with the interview with Aubrey Ashburn, which please people come in and do a good showing for her as well. I've listened to her music for for years, I really enjoy it. So hopefully people can come in and share with that tomorrow night. So, and very beautiful she is. Yeah, I guess she's talking about Aubrey Ashburn. Yeah, she's not difficult to look at, as I would say.
Oh, well, I was getting ready to say thank you because I thought, you know, whoever it was talking about me.
Well, I don't know, Ted. If they're calling you beautiful, I might be a little leery about that.
It's okay for a man to be beautiful.
Well, I guess they say man's beautiful on the inside, but this is Bard's logic, see, so now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I try to, see things in black and white now, but in shades of gray. As I said, Wednesday nights we come off the, the political talk. And one of the things actually about Aubrey Ashburn is she's interested in environmental protection, which that's one of the reasons why I'm asked her to come on to the Thursday night show. As people who are familiar with Bard's Logic political talk, is that on Thursday nights I do cover environmental issues. So that is actually a topic that her and I will discuss, briefly, ask her some questions about tomorrow. So it takes some time for a little drink there to wet the whistle. Oh, we should talk about my sister, Cindy. Oh, okay. Okay, Heidi. Yeah. I'm going to Walmart tomorrow and getting about 30 plastic bags. Why are you going to get the 30 plastic bags, Cindy? Are you going to bring it to the convention on? No, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to bring it to the convention because tonight's about...
Yeah, this is fantasy adventure, doggone it. Let's get off this political stuff.
Exactly.
Hello, I'm over here. We're talking about stuff.
Yeah. So anyways, we've got Cindy said to aggravate me. I see. Thank you, Cindy. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. And since you're trying to aggravate me, I'm going to inform you spelled aggravate incorrectly. So. I couldn't help myself. But anyway, we've only had about 13 minutes left, and I like to spend the last five. I like thanking the people coming in and such, and then I like to play the closing song, which is by Aubrey Ashburn. And so people who are familiar with the show are also familiar with her voice because I play a clip or I play a song that she sings at the end of my song every night. So, Ted, if you'd like to tell more people about where they can get your books and how much they are and how many books are in the series and what's coming up next for the Chronicles of Shandahar or about the video game, not the video game, but the role-playing game that you're working on for it, go ahead and if we could do that in the next, 13 minutes.
Okay.
So we only have 12, so let me say 7 minutes. So...
Well, come on then.
Well, go ahead. If you could just chime in about that, that'd be great.
Feel free to go to my website again, www.worldofshandahar.com. Shandahar, again, is spelled Shandahar.com. The books are about $15 a copy, $14.95, through a PayPal account. And, they come signed by Tracy and myself. You could read the first chapter of all of my books on my website. Tracy and I actually have sent off are finishing up the proof of the fourth book of the Chronicles of Shandahar, Shadow Over Shandahar series. We're in the process of sending that back off to our editors to get printed and published. The next stop for Tracy and myself is, for anybody who might be in the area, Gen Con in Indianapolis, which starts August 15th. It is a huge four-day event happening at the Indianapolis Convention Center. So feel free to come on down. You can find us in Authors Alley, which is a part of the art show of Gen Con Indianapolis. And after that, if you're in the area, you can find me again at the Ohio Renaissance Festival starting Labor Day weekend, and that goes straight through to about mid-October.
Well, hey, Ted, Heidi gave away the M part of your name in the chat, but I'm just joking, Heidi. I think it's okay. But she did have a question. She asked if you finished the box that you were working on for the book.
No, I have not. I've run into a couple of snags with that box. One of them is the lid doesn't fit properly, and I ran out of wood. And I ran out of money to purchase it. So, yeah, the box has not been finished since I posted pictures of it. I do apologize. I know I told people they'd be ready at a certain point, but they weren't. I'd like to apologize to everybody for not having those finished. But, you know, things have come up for me, and I was not able to finish it. I have not written the project off. I'm still working on it. At this point, it has been put on hiatus to finish it.
And also, just to let the – I put the link – to the website in the chat, and also for those on the archive, since you cannot see the chat, you can feel free to go to Bard's Logic Political Talks website, and you will find a link to the World of Shandahar on the featured guests page, and yes, it'll be right under the description of or the bio for Mr. Ted Krim here. And you will see a button that says, I think it says Ted's link or Ted's website, and just click on that, and it will take you to the World of Shandahar website. And also next to it, it says link to the episode, which also for tonight and in the archives, you will also be able to click on that. And that will be up till at least this Saturday. Because normally Saturdays is when I do an update on the website. So.
And may I say one more thing though on the on the homepage of my World of Shandahar page, there is also a link from there to my Facebook group page for the World of Shandahar. So you know you can read whatever you know for those of you who want to become a member to the group page. Feel free to do that as well. So I've got links all over the place. We've got links all over the place. Still there? Hello?
I'm here. I'm here.
Oh, okay. There was a long silence there, and I thought I got hung up on or something happened.
No,
with my phone.
I use it for what they call it, dramatic emphasis or something.
Well, I'm in a part of my basement that's, you know, every now and then it turns into a dead zone, so I get a lot of drop calls. So.
Well, and as I mentioned earlier, Delicatessa, yes, she's Robert. Okay. Oh, Heidi said, thanks, ladies, for this fun, great job on the show, guys. Thank you, Heidi. And if you would be so kind, Heidi, is if you would go to the homepage of Bard's Logic Political Talk, and there's a little follow button. If you would just click that follow button and follow the show, that would be great. I'd appreciate it. And thank you, Cindy, for saying Robert always has a good show, especially when I'm talking about politics. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just tooting my own horn with something I do very rarely. But I'm even doing that kind of tongue-in-cheek. So, all right, well, let's see what how much time we've got left here because I like to play. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, I'm at the point where I'd like to thank everyone for coming in tonight. Thank you, Ted, for coming in. And as I said, I think this is a great segue into tomorrow night's interview with Aubrey Ashburn, and everyone is definitely welcome to come listen to it. And I'd really like if you guys would come in as well. And Ted, if you can make it, if you could come in, I'll give you a link to the show. If you could come in and support us also tomorrow night, I'd appreciate it. So everyone,
out of commission, could I call in and listen?
Yeah, you could call in, but I won't be letting anybody in to talk. But unless she would be okay with it, but I'd have to ask her that there if she'd be open to any kind of questions.
Okay.
But we'll have to see how that goes. But yeah, if you want to call in instead of doing the link, that's fine. I'll just we'll only be letting her in unless she gives the okay to taking callers. But we'll see how that pans out in the organic way the show goes. But I would say we'll play that one night. One by ear, but I won't push the issue on that. But here's a sample that for those of you who have not come to the show before, and this is your first time here at Bard's Logic Political Talk, this is my ending song. I'm going to play, and thank you very much for coming. I really hope to see you tomorrow night. Take care, and have a good evening. And please enjoy the music.
Thank you.